Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Jesus faced his demons in the wilderness. Just before this, he was baptized, where a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved." And after his baptism, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was tempted by his demons. The temptations are a basic challenge of what he had just heard at his baptism. "You are my Son." And the challenge of the temptations, "If you are the Son of God." Jesus was tempted about his mission as the Son of God, as Messiah. Should he do what the people expected of him? Should he do amazing and even unusual things to show his power to change stones into bread? Should he jump off a high building expecting God to send angels to save him? What a sight that would be. Or maybe he should become king of all the nations. All he would have to do is reject God's will and embrace and worship these demons. The people would get what they want. The people would get what they expected Messiah to be. They would get freedom from oppressive governments, and Messiah would be an earthly, worldly king over all the nations. In the mind of the ancients, then there would be peace. Jesus faced these demons. He was tempted. He was tempted to turn in that direction. Now, the language of the Bible is often very mystical. Satan, the Hebrew word is ha-satan. Satan is described as a supernatural, walking, talking demon. In many places in Scripture, human experience gets translated into mystical language. Emotional and psychological demons get translated in Scripture into a mystical language, to tell the story in a visual way, in a spiritual way, in a religious way. What I like to do is to translate this type of language back into human terms as we experience it. We don't see walking, talking demons, but we have real life demons. Our inner demons in modern language are our internal struggles, self-doubts, fears, anxieties, depression, grief, and the biggie, low self-esteem. One of the human demons I personally suffer with a lot is being overly self-critical. Some of you know that. One of the most common inner demons that I've heard as a pastor over the years is people saying to me, "I'm not a good person." When people say that to me, that's an inner demon. I've heard good people say this. They struggle with the inner demon. "I'm not good enough. I'm not doing what I should be doing." Being human means having these inner demons. And God's word is teaching this to us today. Jesus descended from heaven. He became one of us to share our humanity. He was really and truly tempted. He understands what it is to be tempted. He understood what it means to have inner demons and to struggle against them. Jesus felt firsthand what it is to be human and to face inner demons. We all have inner demons, and we have them on a spectrum. They come and go. Sometimes they're overly strong. Other times we can easily overcome them. It's part of being human. Sometimes these demons get a little bit more intense than they should. Sometimes they become powerful. I like to compare it to a snowball speeding down a hill, getting larger and larger until they crash. But Jesus once said, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." Now, one of the reasons Jesus said this, I believe, is because he understood that part of being human is having demons within us. As part of being human, the demons live within us. And so he says, the kingdom of heaven is within us. Jesus didn't want us to think that demons are the only thing that resides within us. The kingdom of heaven is also within us. So we face the demons, the human demons that we have, we face them within, but we also are called as disciples of Jesus to face the kingdom of heaven that is within us. Face it, search for it, look for it, embrace it. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing in the wilderness. He showed us that the Holy Spirit is within. And the Holy Spirit can conquer inner demons. We need to choose what we're going to embrace: the demons within or the kingdom of God within. And trust me, it's not always easy. But Jesus showed us this: it can be done. There are, of course, tried and true ways for facing the demons. Jesus faced them with Scripture. Every time he was tempted, he looked at what he knew of God's word and he faced those demons with scripture. He told the inner demons that God's word is where the power is. He told his inner demons that he wasn't going to put God to the test. He told his inner demons that he would worship God and only God. He decided that he would not do what people expected. He would not become a worldly leader to overcome the oppressive government of Rome. He would not become a worldly king. Jesus basically said that he would do what God wants Messiah to do. Now, as we face our inner demons, we face them with scripture. The reading and the hearing of God's word. We gather for worship. We read devotions. We sing holy songs. We pray. Tried and true ways to face our demons and to overcome our inner demons. We observe Lent. We have Wednesday soup suppers during Lent, and we worship on the Wednesdays of Lent. We gather as a community to enjoy each other's presence. We have meals together, we worship together, we sing together, we pray together. We hear God's word together. This is the way we face our inner demons. There are many spiritual disciplines for us to face and conquer our inner demons and resist temptation. In the late 19th century, about 150 years ago, in Chicago, there was a man named Horatio Spafford. He was a successful lawyer and a real estate investor. Now, hard times hit because of the great Chicago fire of 1871. He lost his real estate investments to that fire. The church building of the church he belonged to was destroyed. A 4-year-old son died of scarlet fever. He was facing some real demons. Horatio and his wife Anna did the work of the church. During that time, they helped others. They helped those who were struggling because of the devastated city. That's how he was handling the inner demons, by service. Well, after things got better, Horatio and Anna decided to take a trip to England. It would be a mission trip combined as vacation. Anna and their four daughters, traveled first. And there was a shipwreck. 226 people died on that ship, including the four daughters. Anna was one of the 47 who survived the shipwreck. As soon as he could, Horatio made a trip to join his wife in England. He traveled by sea, the sea that took the lives of his four daughters. Talk about having to face your demons. As he traveled, Horatio looked out to the sea and he wrote a poem. Later became a hymn. And the first verse is about the sea that took his daughters' lives. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Horatio faced his demons, demons of intense grief, by turning to God in prayer and by writing that poem and looking to the promises of God. He faced his demons, but he also faced the kingdom of God that was within him. God doesn't intend for us to face our demons alone. We need each other. We need the church to help us face our demons. On a school day over 25 years ago, my grandson Brandon was having what I like to call a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, to quote a book. He didn't want to go to school that day, but his parents, you know the drill, his parents made him go to school. He wasn't sick, he just didn't want to go. Now at school, the school counselor passed by him and asked him how he was doing. And Brandon told the counselor he was having a horrible day. The counselor asked why. And Brandon simply said, "I don't want to be here." And the counselor looked at him and said, "You know, I don't want to be here either. I'll tell you what, I'll come by your classroom a little bit later, and I'll take you out of class, and we'll play a game, and we'll hang out together. How's that?" And the counselor did just that. What happened that day was this. The counselor identified with my grandson. That's what Jesus does. He came down to identify with us, with our human lot, and with our temptations. To be human means to have terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. To be human means to have temptations. To be human means to face suffering. To be human means to face death. And Jesus comes to us today and says, "I'll hang out with you." There's no better way to face our demons than to face them with Jesus. There's no better Lenten discipline, life discipline, than to hang out with Jesus. And we call the church the body of Christ. So we hang out together as the church to face our demons. And Jesus comes to us as individuals and as the church to hang out with us. Jesus is with us in our every temptation. He's with us in our every struggle. Jesus is with us in our joys. There is no better way to face our demons than to hang out with Jesus. Let us pray. Think of your inner demons, your struggles, your anxieties, whatever they may be. And listen to the voice of God saying to you, "You are my child. I love you." God's voice says to you, "You are my child. I love you." The voice of God is speaking today. "You are my child. I love you."